PT Associates of Emporia has experienced physical therapists who have provided quality care to our community for more than 35 years. Our mission is to empower individuals to achieve optimal health and well-being through personalized, compassionate, and innovative physical therapy services. We know you have the choice where you receive physical therapy, and we want to thank you for choosing PT Associates. Contact us at 620-208-7878. PT Associates of Emporia, located at the corner of 12th and Industrial.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
For the final time in 2024, welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE. Glad to have you aboard here as we wrap up our final show of 2024. So many great ones for you. We've got another one for you here today. Eric McCabe will be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about Emporia State Disc Golf. We'll also be previewing indoor track and field with Coach Seth Mischke. He will be up next. And then later on in the hour, of course, our chat with Mitch Holtis. He's the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs, of course, are off this weekend after wrapping up the number one overall seed with a victory over the Steelers on Christmas Day. We'll talk with Mitch about that here coming up at the end of the show. Before we get to Mitch, we'll also name our top sports stories of the year here on KVOE. We'll have our little roundtable as we name our top sports stories of the year here in just a few minutes. But up first, it's Seth Mischke, indoor track and field coach for Emporia State. He's next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, the savings are on now with red tag holiday offers on new Chevy cars, trucks, and SUVs. Come in and get red tag savings on a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 RST Crew Cab 4x4 and save over $8,000 off MSRP. Or how about a red tag offer on a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS for just $24,000? And be sure to come test drive a 2025 Chevy Trax Active with heated front seats, EvoTex interior, heated steering wheel, black wheels, and a lot of safety features you want and need. All this for under $26,000. And don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-in vehicle. So don't wait another day for Red Tag Holiday Savings on new Chevy models. Come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Amy Lawrence with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Congratulations to the Penn State women's volleyball team who captured the program's eighth Division I championship just last Sunday. The Nittany Lions defeated fellow top seed Louisville to claim their first title since 2014. A record crowd of 21,860 people were on hand for the championship match, held on Louisville's home floor. That's the highest attendance ever for a women's postseason volleyball match. The inspiring story of the woman who led the Nittany Lions to this national title, next on This Week in the NCAA.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Penn State volleyball is coached by Katie Schumacher-Cawley. She was a member of the 1999 Nittany Lions squad that won the program's first national title. This year, during her third season as the team's head coach, she announced she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Cawley led Penn State on a magical run, and now she's the first woman to win a D1 volleyball championship as a head coach.
I'm inspired by the young kids that are sick. I'm doing treatment at UPenn, and every time I walk into the hospital, I walk right past the children's hospital. And so, sure, if I can be an inspiration to someone, then I take that. But I feel good, and I'm lucky to have the people around me, and I think that's why we're successful.
That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Amy Lawrence on Westwood One.
live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. In the Christmas break right now, but we're not that far away from the Emporia State indoor track and field teams getting going again. They've got the Washburn Rust Buster coming up in a couple of weeks as the Hornets and Lady Hornets return and get back to work as they get set to try to send some more Emporia State athletes to the national championships like they did at the end of last year's indoor season. Seth Mischke is the second-year head coach of Emporia State, and he joined me earlier this week while he was out in a conference in Orlando to talk about the upcoming resumption of the indoor track and field season. Well, Coach, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. How is life down? Are you spending some time here in Florida? Obviously, you're always out recruiting, but what is the off season like in indoor track and field, where you kind of have a little bit of a small warm-up and then a pretty long break, and then you come back and really get going for the rest of the track year?
Yeah, it's an odd sequence, I would say, for people that don't know that that's our world. But, you know, coaches and athletes that have been in the game get it, and they really do have to make sure that we pay attention in the fall with our training cycles and we get ourselves in a position where we feel like we can put some things down in a competition there in December, really get a sense of where we're at to a degree. And then, you know, whether that went well or poorly, use that as motivation to get some things going over the holiday break and, you know, maintain fitness levels and be ready to go when we come back from the holiday, because once we do, it's meet every weekend through the end of February, and it's go time.
And it's an interesting sport as well from the perspective that it's not a year-round sport. Your sport goes from December and then to, you know, March for the indoor championships, and then March to May for the outdoor championships, and then at the end of May, obviously, the national outdoor championships for the NCAA. But at the same time, you guys are always working. I mean, out there in football practice, I saw the ladies and the guys out there running, stretching, jumping, doing all the things that they do. So while it's a shorter season, or two short seasons combined to form one regular size season, you know, this isn't something that you just show up in December and you're ready for, is it?
No, that would not be a way to go. Some people might, but I think anymore, if you want to be competitive, you know, in totality with your team and your student athletes and your coaching staff, you better be putting in a pretty good fall's worth of work. You know, it's nothing that we need to think about, you know, going 100% every single day and just crushing it. But there are sequences that we can put our kids through physiologically that are going to set up the rest of the year. And if we don't pay attention to that and stay committed to that, then I think we're doing them an injustice, and they won't be able to achieve, you know, what they're hoping to achieve from a goal standpoint. So we got to stay on point with things in the fall. And then, you know, once it gets going competitively, make those adjustments as needed.
Seth Mischke, my guest. He is the head track and field coach for the Emporia State indoor and outdoor track and field teams. And you mentioned trying to get it going. Well, now you have seen how it's gone here for about a week. You had the Washburn Invitational, and then you sent some guys and girls out to the Colorado Running Company pre-holiday invite and multi. So through a couple events, how have you liked what you've seen so far from the Emporia State's tracksters?
Yeah, I think the vibe is up. You know, a lot of good performance there at Washburn. You know, some overall PRs, even compared to some outdoor PRs for some kids. They ran faster than they did outside indoor a couple weeks ago. So that's kind of a cool thing. A lot of people are starting better this year than they did last year relative to that meet and that time frame. So, again, the vibe is up. It's good. The kids that went out to Colorado and to try to get them a multi-event opportunity really took advantage, had some great things happen out there with Jonah Rensberg providing a provisional mark there in the heptathlon, as well as the open long jump with the jump that he did there. It was also a national provisional qualifying mark in that event as well. So all being said, we were healthy coming out of those two efforts, and that's always a big thing, you know, to be able to go into a winter break fully ready to maintain some of those things that you're looking at training-wise. And again, keep harping back to just being ready to get after it when we get back, because There'll be no rest for the weary at that point.
And you mentioned a lot about sequences and what sequence you're in, making sure you have the sequences maybe in the right sequence. How do you go together putting together maybe a training calendar for your team, obviously knowing that depending on the athlete, they may need to peak at different times of the year, but certainly for the people who are, you know, going to be in indoor championships around the second week of March and then obviously at the end of May, or, you know, probably the first week of May, because you want to do well in your conference championship to have an opportunity to go to an outdoor championship at the end of May. But how do you put together those sequences of when to push, but then also when to reel back a little bit?
Yeah, you know, over the course of time, you kind of dial that in, I would say. But there's certainly research out there and physiological components that you kind of learn and understand in terms of the training systems of when and where and how much and the intensity. So it can be as confusing and as complicated as you want to make it because there's that much information out there. But at the end of the day, most people have access to that. And if they're doing due diligence, then it really comes down to how a person sequences those opportunities from a training standpoint. So you start from your big meets, the parts of the season where you want to be peaking, and you kind of work your way back from there and try to produce, a year-long idea. And then within that year-long umbrella, there's just all the detail you want to put into it from your mesocycles and your microcycles. And again, it gets really, really terminology heavy there to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to produce is making sure that our kids are ready to compete at their highest level, whatever that means to them individually, the last 2 to 3 weeks of an indoor season and then the last 2 to 3 weeks of an outdoor season, so that we can make sure that we're producing hopefully at conference and then certainly being able to maintain that for those kids that make it to nationals in both of those seasons. So there's certainly a lot of play within that. And oftentimes you are making adjustments on the fly. So it's one of those situations where you have to kind of keep your head on a swivel and make sure that if you see something that isn't working, that you just don't stay in that mode and waste time. You know, make the adjustment to make sure that we're doing stuff that's going to make the kid better.
Well, in terms of making kids better, certainly it doesn't get much better than the throwers you had going to the indoor championships last year, Travis Morrison, Millet Taula. How big was it to get those two to last year's indoor championships?
Yeah, I mean, representation at that level is huge. It's what you're shooting for. It's what, you know, hopefully a lot of the kids you have are shooting for, albeit it's a next level person in that regard. But the goal is to try to continue to enhance that representation at those meets, those kinds of meets. So they got there and they did well, obviously, very competitive scenarios, and they both came through and did some high quality stuff for us and themselves as well. And so we're just excited to expand upon that hopefully this year with a few more in a few different places.
We're here with Seth Mischke. He is the head track and field coach for the Emporia State Hornets and Lady Hornet track and field teams. They're going to return to action coming up after the Christmas break by heading up to the Washburn Rust Buster in Topeka, Kansas. That'll be on January 17th, and then the Rumble in the Jungle Invitational. How do you treat the indoor season? I know that it's a separate season. It's technically a separate sport, but for a lot of these athletes, they're either, you know, going through and it's kind of just all one season and a chance to win two different championships. I don't know if there's more prestige in indoor versus outdoor one way or the other. How do you view the indoor season and its purpose in terms of an overall track and field program?
I think it's tough to favor one over the other. I think if you ask a lot of student athletes which one they like, you'll get a mixed bag of responses. You know, I think vitamin D is fun to be out in,
sure.
The sun. And so there's maybe some different scenarios there, but obviously indoor, the weather's always 70 degrees and sunny, you know, so you're not worrying about some of that stuff in terms of the indoor season. But again, we're going to try to be competitive in both. And certainly, just again, from a physiological standpoint and a human body standpoint, for the most part, you're thinking you're going to be a better athlete or produce a better athlete towards the end of the outdoor season because it's just more training, more time, more reps, you know, to be able to get that person better. But at the end of the day, everybody's going through the same sequence, you know. So We're going to do our best as coaching staff and as a group of student athletes to make sure that when championships are there, we are ready to hopefully answer the call.
In terms of your returning athletes that we're going to be paying attention to this year, who would be the top returners that you have back that you feel like are going to be consistent point scorers for you? I guess ladies first, and then a couple of guys that you think are going to be point scorers for you this year.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to float by your national qualifiers. So on the women's side, Malay, Taula, there in the throws, going to be, you know, very high quality individual in the shot put as she maintains that event, moving it forward and learning it. And then the weight throw is something new to her, obviously, coming in as a freshman last year. We think it's going to be a breakout year for her in that event this year because it's just, again, a rep thing. And the more comfortable you get with that, with what she has just, you know, within herself in terms of strength levels and levers, it just has to go far at some point, you know, once that light bulb goes from flickering to completely on, it's going to be a fun one to watch for her. And then Abigail Reed, you know, 400 meter hurdles last year outdoor at the national meet, really had a great year. And, you know, although that's not an event inside, as far as the NCAA is concerned, you know, we're going to be challenging, you know, what she's capable of in those open races and being a part of that 4x4 relay. So again, she's setting herself up not only to help us out come indoor conference time with some point scoring, but also making sure that we're headed in the right direction again to be another national qualifier in those long hurdles outside.
And how about some guys that might be point scorers for you for the Emporia State men?
Yeah, I think we had you know, a sprint group that really kind of found themselves last year there as the season progressed. So you know, Ty Anderson's off to a great start. You know, Kingsley Bennett, you know, coming out of football healthy and hopefully is ready to kind of get into some spikes and roll again here after the holiday break. We're two folks that were scoring for us. I think there's some throwers, Zach Solzenwatson and Connor Dieters are a couple guys in there that were knocking on the door if not scoring last year inside. Let's see. We've got some multi-event kids, obviously. Kobe Smith, Luke Grace, and now Jonah Rensburg is an addition from Fort Hayes as a transfer, and you know, put down a nice one. And he's going to be challenging, I think, in the heptathlon inside. So, a lot of good things to look forward to, I think. But there's a lot of work to be done, and that's what we're all about.
Emporia State back to action on January 17th and a couple of weeks after the New Year's holiday, coming back for the Washburn Rust Buster. Then they're also in the state of Kansas for the Rumble in the Jungle Invitational on January 24th, then back up to Topeka for the Washburn Open on January 31st and February 1st. So not too far away if you'd like to watch the Lady Hornets and Hornets here to open up the 2025 portion of the indoor track and field schedule for Emporia State coming up here in just a few weeks. Seth Mischke, the second-year track and field coach here at Emporia State University. Coach, really appreciate your time. Have a great season.
Yeah, yep. Appreciate you, man.
We've got more coming up on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com, talking some Emporia State disc golf. The disc golfers had a full portion of their schedule. We'll catch up with their head coach, Eric McCabe, coming up here just after this on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, the savings are on now with Red Tag Holiday Offers on new Chevy cars, trucks, and SUVs. Come in and get Red Tag savings on a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 RST Crew Cab 4x4 and save over $8,000 off MSRP. Or how about a Red Tag offer on a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS for just $24,000? And be sure to come test drive a 2025 Chevy Trax Active with heated front seats, Evotex interior, heated steering wheel, black wheels, and a lot of safety features you want and need. All this for under $26,000. And don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-in vehicle. So don't wait another day for Red Tag Holiday Savings on new Chevy models. Come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Take the stress out of getting a mortgage. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union guides you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan and completing the application. ultimately getting you into your home on time and stress-free. When it's time to choose a lender, go with Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com to connect today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424-226.
The Ascendant Rockets getting all they could handle from Minnesota on Friday night.
Hit with it. Left-handed dribble. Left side. A pull-up three. Oh, yeah! Anthony Edwards puts the Wolves up 113-112. 22 seconds left to play. Down by 15 in the fourth. The Wolves now lead it.
KFAN Sports Radio. T-Wolves do win 113-112. In Phoenix, a knockdown dragout, literally.
The Suns bring it up. Nurkic. Oh, and he just puts the elbow into Gafford's face.
They got
an
look
offensive
at this.
Foul. They do need to look at this.
That was basically arm bar to the neck.
And Nurkic and Marshall.
Oh, and Marshall's going to be gone. He threw a punch.
Yep.
They did look at it. Three ejections in totality, blow by blow from 97-1, the Eagle. On the court, 35 for Kevin Durant, but the Mavs best the Suns 98-89. The Knicks beat Orlando. The Cavs top Denver to extend their win streaks to six games. Mike Brown fired by the Kings less than 2 years after being named NBA Coach of the Year. Shocker in MLB free agency. The D-backs land 2021 Cy Young winner Corbin Burnes. 6 years, $210 million. Bowl action, Navy sail by Oklahoma in the Armed Forces Bowl, stopping a two-point conversion with 6 seconds left. What happened in Vegas? USC beats Texas A&M. Seesaw fair, 35-31. And legendary sports broadcaster Greg Gumbel passed away Friday after a courageous battle with cancer. The play-by-play announcer for Super Bowls 35 and 38 for CBS, a constant presence in NFL March Madness coverage for decades, Greg Gumbel was 78 years old.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Pour Downy in the rinse change.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Well, it's a little bit interesting time of the year for Emporia State Disc Golf. The disc golfers had a little bit of a run-up in the fall season, a couple of events to get ready, but then a long period of break during the Christmas holiday from about the late November until the middle of January. But it's a perfect time to catch up with the head coach, Eric McCabe, the head coach of Emporia State Disc Golf. I did so earlier this week. Well, Coach McCabe, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas.
Yeah, definitely did. Down in Texas with the family, and it's great to. It's always a good time to see family and friends and all that, and hope the same for you and everybody back in Emporia.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and it certainly seems like you guys had a lot of success in your fall season, which actually began all the way back in September at the KSU Mid-American Conference opener for you guys. Overall, just taking a look at your fall schedule with those events that you played in, how do you think the fall went for the Hornets and Lady Hornets?
I think it went pretty well, actually. You know, we do have a couple new players on the team this year, so, you know, it takes a little time to adapt and come full circle with everybody being new teammates and those kind of things. But we started the year off pretty well, not playing together, and then finished second up there in K-State, and then went on to a couple other bigger events, and finally started clicking there in Emporia at our regional that we hosted back in November, and our teams dominated. We ended up doing a full sweep between the men and the women, first and second in both, which was pretty fantastic, and shot us up the national rankings, actually. So pretty good stuff.
Looking at Emporia and the fact that you get to play here, how comparable are these Emporia courses to the ones that you go to when you head to nationals, for example?
Yeah, for nationals, it's pretty similar. One of the courses that they do get to play out at the in Rock Hill, South Carolina for nationals got quite a bit of trees, so it's more of a wooded style of course, as where what we have in Emporia is a little more links style, a little more distance, and OB, natural OBs, those kind of things. But the main course that they play is called the Winthrop Arena, right there on Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. That's the course that they play three times, and I would say it's pretty comparable to either Champs Landing or like a Jones East, Jones Gold kind of a course. So pretty similar. You know, it's always a benefit when it's windy out there for us, because we're used to playing in that every day. So
do we have wind at Emporia?
Is Emporia just windy? A little, just a little bit. You know, it depends on what season you're in, but it does get a little breezy out there. It makes throwing a disc in the wind pretty challenging.
Are there other, and I don't know enough about weather and these other programs and where they are. I know that for, you know, the Kansas States, KUs of the world, there's plenty of wind in Lawrence, because I've lived there in Manhattan. I know that there's wind there. But are there different disc golf programs around the country that maybe are in a locale that don't have as much wind as Emporia or Kansas in general? And what kind of advantage does that give you in terms of being able to navigate windy conditions when you're out and about in different places all around the country?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you start to travel east, you know, they get wind out on the East Coast and they get wind everywhere, you know. However, when you travel further east, they typically have more of these wooded style courses where it could be 30, 40 mile an hour wind and you don't even feel it because you have such a great wind block. So a lot of those players aren't accustomed to being able to navigate that wind, and that does give our guys and gals a slight advantage. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you still got to perform and play, and everyone plays in the same elements, but I do believe it does give at least players in the Midwest a little bit of a nod there when it gets a little breezy out there at the championship.
We're talking with Eric McCabe. He is the head disc golf coach for Emporia State. You guys are unique. I guess you're not singular, though, because there are some other sports that have kind of this funky break in the middle of the season. Tennis has this. You've got golf that has this typically, as well as track and field breaks up the indoor season like this. What's the plan for you guys, and what have you guys been doing during this December off period where you guys haven't been hammering events each week?
Yeah, so that's the beautiful thing about our sport. At least there's tournaments every single weekend that we can go play if we really want to, not necessarily under the college umbrella, but you know, going out and playing those singles tournaments definitely helps them keep their mind fresh and playing events, those kind of things. And you know, we have been fortunate this year. We haven't had a true winter yet, you know, knock on some wood here, but
right.
We've been able to get outside and get some practice in, get, you know, the routine down and staying in the gym and being focused that way. And, you know, given a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks off to just, you know, do their own thing and focus on themselves and their family this time of year is very important for me. Being a family man myself, you know, I'd like to let their players go back, have fun, and kind of take their mind off things and get ready to roll again here in a couple of weeks when we're all back in Emporia.
Now, in terms of your roster, starting with the women, a little bit of a shakeup this year as Atlanta Kruger, Maya Ringgold, obviously a great team for you, going their separate ways, still on the team, not that they're parting ways, not friends anymore or anything like that, but you decided to break them up, and also five women there. You said last year you'd like to continue to build up the roster. Talk us through the women's roster this year, and also specifically why you thought that maybe Atlanta, Maya breaking up would be a good thing for the team as a whole.
Sure. Yeah. So it was a tough decision, as any coach would have to make. You know, you want what's not just best for the players, but what's best for the team and Emporia and Emporia State in general. I had recruited this girl, Madeline Joyner is her name. She comes to us from North Carolina, and she's been competing at a community college out there in North Carolina, and she had gone to nationals the past couple of years and had been top 10 All-American both years she went, and unfortunately had never had a partner to play with, and she's got this drive about her that she wants to win a championship, and that's what she has her mindset on doing. And so I made a phone call, recruited her to come out and just do a tour of Emporia, and you know, with Emporia State being not the only, but one of, you know, top 10 or so that probably in the nation that is under the athletic umbrella and offers scholarships and you know, treats us like a real sport, so to speak, I guess. I was fortunate enough to bring her in and partner her up with Atlanta, and they've been doing great things. And, you know, Maya's great. She's still got some eligibility left in the future to keep competing. And we partnered her up with Rebecca Thompson, who is a third year as well on the team. So they've been doing some great things together. Then Grace Watson is our fifth girl that's official. We actually, just before Christmas break, found another girl that may be interested, and working with her on coming in and being our sixth gal to have a full team for the women, which is pretty phenomenal to have six college athletes that are all women that are looking to compete and have a great time and just fulfill our roster. So we're going to have 14 total student athletes playing disc golf at Emporia State come this spring. So we're very excited about that.
And I want to ask you about the men, but first, you gave me a segue to follow up with you. In terms of recruiting and just putting a program together, how helpful is it and how much of an advantage is it for you guys to be under the athletic department umbrella and have those resources and most importantly, maybe even the structure that supports your program in terms of having a page on the website, having the ability for people to follow you? How much of an advantage is it?
Well, you know, just being honest, it's a little unfair for everybody else, and it makes my job really, really easy, which I absolutely love. You know,
sure.
I mean, just to be able to go out there and say, hey, you know, I've got some scholarship dollars and some funding for you. I've got some a budget to work with that, you know, you don't have to necessarily worry about paying for entry fees and traveling and food while we're on the road, you know, per diems and all that kind of stuff is nice. So our players can just focus on playing and doing what they're here at Emporia State to do. And that's to play disc golf and grow our sport and, you know, help out Emporia State by getting tuition, which, you know, makes a whole lot of sense. Every year that I've been involved with this college disc golf, it seems like every year there's another university that's working on scholarships and athletics being under that umbrella instead of clubs. So there's more funding going into it, which is great. And, you know, to kind of be a pioneer of it is pretty awesome. And like I had said, it makes my job pretty easy just to tell the kids what they can expect and get, you know, coming to our community. And, you know, we're rich with disc golf there in Emporia. We're very fortunate and we know it. And, we want to give back by hopefully bringing home a championship at some point. That's the goal. That's the plan.
Emporia State head coach Eric McCabe is my guest talking Emporia State disc golf. They're returning to action in January from their winter break. How easy does it make it? How much more easy does it make it when you have such a veteran group back on the men's side with a couple of graduate students and Kate Kohlmeyer and Justin Farrell to lead that squad?
Oh, it's awesome. Those guys are, you know, not only are they, you know, seniority on the team, but they've been both playing disc golf for so long, and they're kind of, I wouldn't say set in their ways by any means, but they've taken that leadership role, and Justin especially, he's been phenomenal to work with over the past 2 years, and he kind of takes that captain role and, you know, reaches out to other team if they need something, if it's not even just disc golf help, but if it's, hey, if you're struggling in a class or anything like that, I'm here for you to help out whatever I can do. So that's, that portion of it's been great. And obviously having TJ back has been awesome as well. Isaiah Grant and Caden, they're all guys that are coming back from last year as well. And got a couple new guys on the team. We recruited Micah Tatro from Oklahoma Christian University, who was one of our bigger competitors the past couple of years. So having him, you know, seeing him click with the D1 guys has been pretty awesome as well. And seeing them just work together as one cohesive group is pretty amazing, actually. And it goes a long way when all four of your guys can communicate and kind of almost use the same brain, so to speak, you know, when they're all thinking about the same things and they want the same goals, and they pick each other up when they're down, and I think that goes really far.
Well, final thing for you, and the schedule is getting updated on the Emporia State website, esuhornets.com. Got a couple other events that they'll be playing in that aren't on the schedule yet but are going to be added. Coach McCabe up next for the women is going to be the Florida Collegiate Classic down in Brooksville, Florida. So I guess I'll wrap up with that. What are your expectations for your ladies, and what would you like to see as they try to get this rust knocked off coming up on January 18th and 19th in the Sunshine State?
Yeah, really looking forward to that trip down to Florida. It's going to be warm. Hopefully, knock on some wood there, please. Get out of this the cold funk and go down there. The main reason I wanted to take the Lady Hornets down there was to get a taste of other competition. You know, get play against some other top schools. It'll be the biggest field of women that they've had to compete against, and including some really top hitters like Milligan University is going to be there, and I think they're ranked just below us. Our women are ranked number two in the nation, and our men are number one in the nation right now. And Atlanta actually is ranked number one in the nation as a single player, which is great. And not a lot of huge expectations going down there. We just kind of want to go down there and have a good time, and like you said, knock that rust off and get a taste of what Nationals is going to be like here in a couple of months. And Madeline actually is from North Carolina, so she's out in that area, and she's able to play some of those courses for Nationals right now, and then heading back out for spring break. She'll be back home in North Carolina practicing those courses as well. So we're hopefully have a leg up there at the championship, and just looking to go out and have a great time.
It's the Florida Collegiate Classic for the women in Brooksville, Florida on January 18th and 19th. The men are heading to the Bluegrass Regional February 21st and the 22nd. And there will also be a home date coming up. They're working on that to get an event here in Emporia coming up this spring. And we'll get you the details on that as soon as they are released. College Disc Golf Nationals are coming up. Rock Hill, South Carolina, April 2nd through the 6th. And we hope to see several Emporia State teams there. Coach, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Best of luck to you guys as you resume the schedule.
Yeah, appreciate it, Blake. Everybody, hope you had a Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year coming up. And we'll look forward to the spring semester and hopefully chatting with you guys again.
Really appreciate it. Always great to talk with Coach McCabe and Coach Mischke. Welcome back into Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Blake Cripps here with you, just a few minutes away from Mitch Holtis. Tim Miller has the day off, but we do welcome in inside the penalty box here Dylan Sherwood this morning. Dylan, how are you?
I'm fine, Blake. I'm fine.
So we kind of reversed the structure a little bit of everything. We'll have kind of our round table now with Mitch on the way for the Chiefs. And, of course, the Chiefs Radio Network Kansas City off until Sunday, January 5th, after a big win over the Steelers on Christmas Day. Probably, like, I'm going to save my questions about the, you know, well, what are the Chiefs going to do this week? I don't know if they've made that determination yet, or if they have, if they've shared it with Mitch. But what I am going to ask him about is what this period of rest means for the guys and how they use that going forward. But so much to digest and take away from two wins over the Texans and the Steelers, and overall just the three-game stretch, three wins in 11 days with two wins on the road for Kansas City.
Most definitely. Big win, you know, especially at Pittsburgh.
Which I thought maybe, you know, looking back at all of these games, I've got the whole schedule up in front of me. They played pretty well against the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking back, let's see. Yeah, there's the Super Bowl from last year. And, you know, it's been so close. I mean, the Ravens game, the Bengals game, the Falcons game, the Chargers game. You know, they played pretty well against the Saints, but there are so many of these games that are close. I thought that Chiefs over the Steelers, that was their best performance of the year.
I agree there. I agree with you there.
I mean, they were able to get pressure on the quarterback without Chris Jones. That was a big storyline coming in for us. He out with a calf injury. Mm-hmm. I would have never guessed that he would have been gone. I mean, they got all kinds of pressure on him. I think they got six sacks and like four hits and five hurries. I mean, they were all over the backfield. The offense clicked. They were able to run the football when they needed to. Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that was a vintage Chiefs. You could have placed that Chiefs game in any of the other seasons where Patrick Mahomes and the offense has been really dominant. Actually, you couldn't have placed it in those seasons because the defense stunk those seasons, and the Chiefs played really good on defense.
Well, they're plus 10 in the turnover margin since the Cleveland game.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
You're gonna get a lot of opportunities. It's not, you know, just a silver bullet to win. I don't think that it's that, but it is really good. So we'll talk with Mitch Holthus about this Broncos game coming up on the 5th. We'll have a couple of times to talk about him. Mm-hmm. Probably talk more about these games that just passed and leave the Broncos for next week. And
definitely
the playoff picture is going to get cleared up a little bit here this weekend, and then obviously after week 17's games, mm-hmm. then the NFL is going to set the entire schedule. So we don't know when the Chiefs and Broncos will play. I know that there are a lot who are speculating that the Chiefs, after they get the bye week, that they'll play in that subsequent Saturday.
That's what I was seeing, too.
That's the rumor, is that they would play on that Saturday, which I don't think would be bad necessarily.
No.
I don't think Saturday to Sunday makes a big difference. Maybe it even helps if you knock off the rust a little earlier and then go into the next week. So I think they would be back on Sunday because that would be the conference championship.
Yep.
Those would be on Sunday, so you'd have an extra day of rest going into that. So I think that would be fine as well for the Chiefs. Like Mitch has said so many times on the show, you know, they've played so much extra football, one extra season's worth of football in these last, you know, this five-year stretch that they've had of making every single AFC championship game. It's not guaranteed that they're going to make it this year, but with all that extra football, you know, some extra time off, probably not the worst thing.
No. Need it.
So for Chiefs and Broncos on Sunday, probably going to be a noon game, I'm guessing.
Well, it's at Denver, so it's probably going to be in that late window.
They're going to have they always figure it all out so that the teams that are competing with the same spot will play at the same time, like they do soccer over in the World Cup.
Yep.
So you can't scoreboard watch. But that's a game that's not going to mean it means nothing for the Chiefs. Chiefs mm-hmm. lose that game means nothing. Now it may mean something to the Broncos depending on what happens this weekend.
But based on
what happens this weekend, that may mean something to the Broncos. But it does look like the Broncos and the Chargers are sitting pretty mm-hmm. to make it into the playoffs. Those would be the only two spots that are available. Are those last two wild card spots? All the other five spots are already accounted for with the three division champions, and then really the other wild card spot is locked up too. It's just who's going to win the North between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Who, you know, they'll flip flop one way or the other based on next week's action. So going to be probably one of those afternoon games for the Chiefs and Broncos, mm-hmm. depending on where the Chargers and where the other suitors for that last spot will be. Well, we did want to, as we wait for Mitch here a little bit early, we wanted to talk a little bit about, first of all, remind you that next week on the show, as Emporia High gets back into school, our Emporia High interviews will get back in. We take 2 weeks off for the Christmas holiday, but then when Emporia High is back at school, of course, we've got an Emporia High guest on every single week on the show. It's my promise. And Phil Metz is going to be our guest next week, the boys' swimming coach. We're also efforting April Rosales, the Emporia State softball coach, to talk Lady Hornets softball, as they're only about a month away. It's crazy to think we're talking about softball and baseball for Emporia State. But you look at the calendar, we're just a month away from Emporia State, Lady Hornets softball, and Hornet baseball starting.
It's crazy.
But, of course, you know, if you've covered baseball at the collegiate level, the baseball and softball schedule is only a suggestion. It means nothing at this point. So, I mean, they may not play till February 22nd. Who knows? But, you know, we will get ready for them. It has been a dry winter so far, so maybe they will get started on time. And, hey, the weather outside today, this wouldn't be terrible for softball.
No.
It wouldn't be horrible. I'm sure the girls have played in colder. But we also wanted to do something a little fun with these 5 minutes that we have here, talking about our top sports stories of the year as we wait for Mitch. Top local and top national sports stories of the year. I've got, I think, three that are my top sports stories locally of the year.
All right.
If you want to go ahead and start with your top local sports stories of the year.
Well, I still can't believe that I broke this, because I just remember that morning. I'm working on something, and then I see a notification about a job posting, and I'm like, what's going on? So then I started doing some calling and everything. But the morning that we found out Carolyn Dorsey would not be retained as the Emporia High Lady Spartan basketball
coach. Was that a big story? Did that generate some hits on our website?
That did.
Yeah.
That did.
That was on my list as well.
That did.
Obviously with the success that she had the year before, clearly. But that change, people were all over that. Did great job on the reporting on that, by the way. I think that we were the first to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was the – I believe that that's not just the top sports story of the year. I believe that might be the top sports story of in the history of our website since we started. We can go back and look a certain amount of time. I think that there's like the first 9 months or something of when you guys switched that's not – available. But yeah, it's the biggest sports story that we've ever had. That was definitely on my list.
Yeah.
The other two that in my mind were in competition with that were, of course, you know, hey, I came in with my Chiefs sweatshirt. You've got your – I think you have the – I think every – you're the perfect Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
Because every time they win something, like you have – okay, well, we're going to get the conference championship shirt. Sweatshirt, division championship sweatshirt, t-shirt. You're the people that those when they bring that on TV, you're like, yeah, we're gonna get Dylan Sherwood with this one. And hey, why not be proud? Why not be proud of the red and gold and the Arrowhead and the Tomahawk Chop? Why not be proud of it?
Yeah.
What a period we're in. But the Chiefs winning back-to-back Super Bowls,
I agree,
has to be up there. And then I'm wearing my Royals shirt.
Yep.
The Kansas City Royals making a completely – I mean, I think I was the most optimistic, and I thought they'd win 76 games. Uh-huh. I was the most optimistic person on the Monday morning quarterback. So those three are in my mind, in some order. I probably would go Chiefs 1,
yeah,
just because to more of our listening audience and to the people outside of Emporia. I mean, Carolyn Dorsey, I think to Emporia fans, yeah, that would be the number one story. But, you know, to the Chase County fans, Madison, Northern Heights, they're not going to be as interested in Emporia High. So I think I would go Chiefs 1, Dorsey 2, Royals 3.
Yeah, I would agree with you
in my rankings. But, yeah, there were definitely some big sports stories. It's been fun to put together the sports year in review. We've still got, I think, two more left, right?
We got two more.
So that, which will start on Monday.
So we'll have, what is that?
That should be November.
November on Monday and December on Tuesday. And then, I was able to piece together December yesterday.
Got December done? Okay.
Yes, sir.
I hope nothing big happens on Monday.
I hope not.
I don't know what would happen that would require you to change that. I can't think of anything that would happen. But by the way, Ray Bouchard, that might be Mitch right there. Ray Bouchard leaving the Jayhawks. That was a big story in terms of KU volleyball. What a incredible career Ray Bouchard had up in Lawrence. I mean, because, you know, KU volleyball, he started back when I was in school. He was going to KU back when I was in school. And so to see, you know, Coach Bouchard leave and what he turned Jayhawk volleyball into was absolutely incredible. You know, in terms of national sports stories of the year, the Chiefs repeating as Super Bowl champions is up there just because the Chiefs, whoever wins the Super Bowl is a huge story every year. So the Chiefs being up there. And Caitlin Clark is up there as well, along with Simone Biles repeating. Those are three of my top sports stories of the year.
I did have Simone Biles on my list.
Nationals.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark. I also thought maybe UConn going back-to-back.
Pretty big.
That was pretty big.
Pretty big story, yeah. I agree. I would agree with that as well. Well, no bigger sports story nationally than back-to-back Super Bowl championships. And, boy, if the Chiefs could win three in a row, it would be no bigger story than that. And the Chiefs certainly have set themselves up in position to do that. As we welcome in Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424226. Mitch, you said you wanted the number one buy under the tree, the only thing you wanted. Did you? You got that. Did you get the Red Ryder BB gun?
No, I did not.
Brutal.
And I'm just trying to get my tongue off the pole here. So, did not get the Red Ryder BB gun, but got the buy and really wrapped in a cool package. Because, guys, when you think of it, of 3 games in 11 days to play in succession, Miles Garrett, then Danielle Hunter / Will Anderson Jr., then T.J. Watt or Highsmith or Herbig, and to allow one sack to get 10 takeaways and have no giveaways, it's just like Santa goes, well, here's a little something extra to put on top. Because what a remarkable, exhausting 3-game craziness to get it done in the way they did it. It was awesome. Well, no Red Ryder BB gun, though.
Those are fun. I got one of those as a kid. Those are fun. Blake Cripps and nice. Dylan Sherwood here with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Tim Miller is off today. The thing, maybe, Mitch, that I was most astounded by while watching that game is you've got this team, and you know you've talked about it, and I'm not trying to diminish what you said at all in terms of the extra period of time and the extra basically season that the Chiefs have played in making all these AFC championships in a row, that they've played so basically an extra season in the last five seasons of this incredible dynastic run. But this Kansas City Chiefs team, at the end of 3 in a row, two of which on the road, 3 in 11 days. I thought that the scariest thing for the rest of the NFL, I thought that the Steelers game was the most complete, best 60 minutes of football the Chiefs have played, maybe not just in that stretch, the entire season. Their best game of the year, and it was the one that should have been the most difficult when they were the most tired, coming back on the shortest rest, playing on Wednesday, playing at Pittsburgh, just an incredible performance. What are your thoughts on what they did at Pittsburgh on Christmas Day?
No, Blake, I agree. And it's a testimony to the dexterity of this team, of the just the resolve of this team in trying to get done what they want to get done, which would be really one of the biggest moments of American sport, not just the NFL, if the Chiefs can pull this off. As you guys were listing things of 2024, this would be just something that would, again, transcend the NFL. But I agree with you. And to do it against a team that was hungry to win, somewhat desperate to win, and to get all three phases to compete at the level that they did, was remarkable. But it's a testimony to the staff, to the coaches in hours, just hours. It was 92 hours, I think, from the end of the Houston game to the beginning of the Pittsburgh game. And we had to travel for the Tuesday. I mean, so, but yes, I think that's scary for the rest of the NFL because, again, we're starting to see what we talked about all the way back in August. And especially with Hollywood Brown on the field. But at that time, we didn't know we'd have DeAndre Hopkins or Kareem Hunt or Samaje Perine. Now you throw those dudes in there, and you see this team emerging. Joe Tooney going to left tackle has been monumental. But to get Mike Caliendo to do the pseudo Joe Tooney at left guard, if you move Tooney out and left guard's a disaster, then you've got a disaster. But not with Caliendo playing in concert the way he has with Creed Humphrey and also with Joe Tooney. And then defensively, to get 5 sacks in that game without Chris Jones, I mentioned on the broadcast the Chiefs without Chris Jones were 4-4 in his career during that span. Now they're 5-4. But to get 5 sacks and to get takeaways again and to be +10 in a 3-game margin to go from -4 – the +6 is just crazy. This team is unusual, guys. They're just amazingly unusual, and there will be stories told about it for years to come.
Mitch, how big is it for the Chiefs to go from that -4 in the turnover margin to +6 now? Because that's something I've been keeping track of big time because you brought it up with us and you knew the Chiefs were going to have a breakout game defensively, and it's just carried over here in this 3-game stretch.
Yeah, that Cleveland game started, and again, it comes in spurts, but it's been two things. One, the Chiefs taking it away, and two, not giving it away. Patrick Mahomes is now on the longest string of his career without an interception. He has had no interception games now. If you look past really half the season, after he started with 6 touchdowns and 8 picks prior to D-Hop's arrival, since then, it's 20 touchdowns, 19 or 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Since D-Hop has shown up, Pat just hasn't thrown any interceptions. It's nuts. But, again, they're not turning it over, but they're taking it away. And they're taking it away in a variety of ways. Strips, sack strips, picks, and they're getting guys to step up. Jaden Hicks, outside of his stupid penalty, really had a good game, and I'm excited about his future. But, yes, it's been a double whammy here for the Chiefs to do a complete turnaround in the giveaway takeaway.
We're here with Mitch Schultes, voice of the Chiefs. Of course, we will not have Chiefs football for you this weekend, already played. So we'll have the Chiefs Kingdom show on Monday and then back with the regular season finale a week from Sunday at a time to be announced by the NFL. We've talked about the defense and the way that they were able to get pressure on Pittsburgh throughout the game. Russell was running for his life several times, did not get away several times, and without Chris Jones being in there, I'm sure it was a surprise to some. So I'll ask you, not that they did it, because that we all know that that was amazing. How did they do it without Chris Jones in there?
Yeah, and Pittsburgh was trying a short passing game. Russ Wilson was looking at a 2-step drop, 3-step drop game to get started. So the short area coverage is what's underrated in the game. His first reads weren't there. Now all of a sudden he's got to react, and his reaction is try to keep the play alive, and that's where the motor of Karlaftis, Mike Dana, who's just so steady and has been ever since the first day he put on pads, Felix Anudike-Uzomah got maybe his best sack of his career. That was big time because he gets that one. The coverage wasn't awesome, but Felix got there before Russell could get to his back foot and make the throw. And it was a big-time play where Felix does an underneath rip and gets lower leverage than the left tackle. So it came from a variety of ways. Inside, Turk Wharton gets another one. The rotation was good, but the short area coverage is kind of what set the whole deal up. And that was going back to Hicks and, of course, McDuffie, Joshua Williams to some extent, Christian Roland Wallace, who's playing better and better as an undrafted rookie free agent. And the linebackers were better in coverage in that game. That meant Freiermuth. Now Pickens is good, and we saw Pickens get us a couple times. But that short area coverage made Russell go to Plan B, and Plan B just wasn't there because the rush was there before he could get to Plan B or C.
Mitch, we got to bring up Travis Kelce surpassing Tony Gonzalez in touchdown receptions as a Chief, but Travis Kelce just continues to find ways to produce and even did a little dunk after that touchdown on Wednesday.
I had to explain to my dad, like, he was like, God, they got another unsportsmanlike penalty? I was like, Dad, no. This one is okay.
Not this one, Dad.
Yeah, one's fine.
Yeah. It's you wrecking the car going to get grandma groceries. Like, you wrecked the car? Yeah, but I got grandma groceries. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll think about that one. the other two are stupid, and you don't want 48-yard of PATs. But in this instance, yeah, the tribute was awesome, and I know it meant a lot to Tony that Travis thinks that much of him. I know how Tony feels about Travis, and I know how Travis feels about Tony. I've discussed it privately and publicly with the both of them. But in the case of Kels, let's go back to what we were discussing about D-Hop and Juju and Hollywood and Xavier Worthy. Now all of a sudden we're seeing Kels get opened up in the middle of the field. The Chiefs had a really good kind of pseudo-screen set up. I don't know if it was very subtle. I think they got it from Navy, actually. I think they saw Navy run it on Army a couple years ago. But it's a timing screen. Yeah, it's awesome. It's a timing screen where Noah Gray is in a direct line ahead of Kels. Noah Gray acts like he's running a route at like 15 yards. It's an awesome play. And then all of a sudden, Kelce goes underneath it, but the timing was perfect. So now all of a sudden, Noah Gray is in front of Kelce, and you have this screen on the, like a vertical screen right down the hash. And it's a tight end screen in the middle of the field. It's really cool. All right, that was one thing that I loved about. The other one is Kelce getting able to get open, but more freedom because, again, there's other guys being occupied, the other defenders. But for him to get the record, we've waited 5 weeks for this, and I've just been sitting there, 77, 77, 77, 77. And then he finally gets it. It was cool to do it because, guys, if he doesn't do it, he ain't going to play this next game. And the college stats are different than pro stats, whereas K-State's stats the other night in that 44-41 win over Rutgers, that all counts for their regular season, not in the NFL. They put down a wall that your regular season stats are different than your postseason stats. So we would have had to wait an entire another year, let's hope it's another year, for Kelce to break that record. So it was cool that he got that done. And not only that, Dylan, but he gets seven straight years of 90 catches. That's never been done by any pass catcher in the history of the league.
Wow.
That one's simmering for a while. Yeah. It's nuts. And then he gets to 1,000 receptions. He got all that done. Remember last year he set out week 18, and it was like, oh, man, he's losing records. He's losing
yeah.
the consecutive 1,000 yards. No. Don't worry about all that. But he already got it. He got them. The records are done. Now he can rest with the records.
Well, yeah, incredible career here. Kind of crazy to think about maybe the two best tight ends ever both wore red and gold. Last thing for you, you've mentioned the time, and mainly it was last week, you know, the hours that they had to prepare for the Steelers game. Okay, in the rearview mirror now. Now they've got extra time, an extra half week going into the Broncos. Don't want to say, oh, you know, they're not trying to win the game, but that's not paramount. My question to you is, because we're going to get into more of this when we have you on next week with the Broncos, mm-hmm. in terms of the game plan, what's this week look like, this week and a half look like for the coaching staff with the extra time as they not necessarily focus on putting together a game plan for Denver, but start putting together a game plan for how to approach the Denver game to get the team ready for a playoff game after a week off in the playoffs to come back on what people are rumoring is going to be that Saturday game in the second round. Don't know if that's going to happen or not, but what's that like for Coach Reed right now in his office trying to put a plan together to navigate this last game and bridge the gap from the regular season into the postseason?
Phenomenal question, because it's really Coach Reed and his brilliance that has led to this run, these weeks, and I've seen this happen. Think about how this has happened. It happened in 13 because we played backups against the Chargers. We couldn't move the needle, couldn't win the division. The Broncos were, and we almost beat the, knocked the Chargers varsity out of the playoffs with RJVs.
Remember that.
And suck up, remember that? Suck up misses a 41-yard field goal. Like, oh, come on, man. So, again, that happens. This has happened in 2020. It happened in 20 last year where we couldn't move the needle. It's just the fourth or fifth time. Here's what happens, and here my answer. Here's where this the value of this week is awesome, beyond the obvious. Rest, recovery from injury. Coach Reed uses this week twofold ways. One, he will give his young coaches, these are the guys you don't know, Daniel D'Alessio, who's brilliant. He'll be a head coach someday. He's helping coach the DBs. Joe Blamire on the offensive side. There's a whole bunch of guys here that he'll give the young coaches this week to act like they're in the roles that they want to be in. Okay? This is, I don't know if Dylan wants to be general manager someday or Blake, you. Okay. This would give you a chance to do that for a week. It's amazing how I've seen Coach use it. Then he starts to work. He'll review with the rest of the staff on getting ready for the playoffs. They'll look at every possible playoff team. And we know half the field is going to be eliminated before it gets to us with the bye. But, and we've already played. We will have played everybody in the field unless something weird happens and the Colts get in. because otherwise we played the Bengals, we played them all the ones that are going to be in the tournament, we played them already. But we'll start working on all that. Plus, what can we put in that's extra that we get a basic a little training camp here to put in some stuff with guys and nuances that we haven't had time to put in because we had to get D-Hop on the run. We had to get P-Ryan on the run. We got Juju on the run. They didn't have St. Joseph. They will actually put together a mental St. Joseph here, which is awesome. In the meanwhile, they're going to win this game. I would say, and Matt Nagy backed me up on this. He mentioned it too. We won the Super Bowl last year, largely in part, because we got that Week 18 to be like this. We weren't the one seed, but we couldn't move the needle. So we rested Mahomes and Kelsey and others. But remember, Chris Jones played, got his million-dollar sack. But guys like Jack Cochran, Cam Jones, Leo Chenal actually set up this season by what he did starting in that game. Now, that's going to lead me into my biggest concern of this game. I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it as a tease for 1 week from today.
Absolutely.
But it's going to be a pertinent discussion, though, Blake.
Okay.
A pertinent discussion of what I would be most worried about, how this game could goof up the playoffs. Probably won't, but it could. But this week, you asked, they're going to try to beat the Broncos. They're going to try to beat the pants off them. And they do have Carson Wentz playing quarterback. All right? But this is going to be academy time at One Arrowhead Drive. And the younger coaches get a chance they would never get a chance to do. And the older coaches or the coaches in those coordinator roles start to work ahead and plan ahead and try to get set up to go. Our best chance to win it this year to get the three-peat is what just happened. Our best chance to win it last year was to have Week 18 be just like this, even though we didn't get the one seed.
Mitch Holt is brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424226. Mitch, we'll talk to you next week and enjoy a firsthand look at the Andy Reid coaching camp.
Yep, you got it. And I'll say this, the analogy I think is good. I think this is a good analogy for what you ask. It's really like getting a bowl game for K-State.
Sure.
Or ESU, if they get a bowl game, right? It's twofold. You want to win the game, but you have extra practices. Now all of a sudden K-State put Joe Jackson in the role of DJ Giddens. They put guys in roles that had never been there before. So they basically got a jump start on the next year's season, still trying to win the game. That's what the Chiefs are doing this next week. And I think it's a direct parallel. Just think of ESU and they get the extra practices.
Oh, yeah, they're
they
huge.
Get the extra time. It's a development of the new players as well as trying to win the game. So, yep, gotcha.
Well, no, right. Coach Higgins takes it seriously, and it's always fun to see the Broncos lose. I don't know about you, Dylan.
It's always a great day when the Broncos lose.
Losing. Maybe only the Raiders more. So,
yeah, I do too. I don't know why that is.
Mitch, appreciate it. Thanks.
See you, Mitch.
See you, boys.
Mitch Choltis, of course, will have the Chiefs Kingdom show coming up for you on Monday. That'll be delayed at 10 o'clock. Kansas State basketball versus Cincinnati on Monday. The reason we are delaying that at 5 p.m. pregame, 6 o'clock for the tip-off there. Lions at the 49ers will be the Monday night game. We'll have Sunday night football, Falcons at Washington coming up. And then today at 11:30, our coverage begins noon kickoff for the NFL triple header, Chargers at Patriots, Broncos at Bengals. Speaking of those Broncos, and the Cardinals at the Rams. We'll have all three games for you today. So it's all football all day here on KVOE. Dylan, appreciate it.
No problem, Blake.
We will get you back into the Infinity Sports Network here in just a moment. For Dylan, I'm Blake. This is KVOE Emporia. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
After a long Christmas break, the Emporia State basketball teams return to action on January 2nd and